If you're a mom who feels like you have no time to focus on organizing projects around the home, today's episode is for you. I'm talking to full-time working, full-time student mom Jessie all about finding the time to tackle her organizing projects.
Welcome to Cocktails and Containers, your source for organizing strategies perfectly paired with a cocktail. And now, here's your host, who knows if you're happy and you know it, you've probably had a cocktail, Christy Lingo.
Hello, happy spring, and thank you for joining me today on Cocktails and Containers. If this is your first episode, my name is Christy Lingo. I'm a professional organizer and a mom organizing expert who focuses on helping you simplify and organize your family so you can spend more time doing what you love with who you love. I'm also a mom to two boys, ages 5 and 7, so I am right there in the trenches of crazy with you mamas out there. Today's guest, Jessie, came to me because she has a lot on her plate and she's struggling to find time to get to the projects that she has around her home. My chat with Jessie came about because she filled out my show survey at help.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. It's a super quick and easy survey that can give me an idea of the struggles you are having in your home, and then I can schedule upcoming episodes addressing your needs. And maybe you can even join me on that episode. So be sure to check out my show survey at help.simplesolutionsorganizing.com and let me know how I can help you. And if you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes this spring. We've got awesome episodes coming up about organizing your finances, the importance of self-care, productivity for moms, clutter-free Easter basket ideas, and the best spring cleaning and organizing ideas for your pantry. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And now, here's my chat with Jessie Jackson about finding time to organize. Jessie Jackson, the Reverend. Thank you so much for coming on Cocktails and Containers with me today.
I'm drinking my drink.
I know you almost spit it when I said that. Jessie and I go back, gosh, we're looking at like a decade now, right?
Oh, shut your mouth.
I mean, you haven't aged a day.
But... No, you neither.
But yeah, so Jessie had responded to the survey that I had put out, and you had mentioned something about like, finding time to sort of deal with the stuff that you're decluttering and just in general, you know, papers on your counter your kitchen and all this stuff. So that's what we're going to chat about a little bit today.
Great.
But of course, the most important part of our little get together today is the cocktail. And yeah, I'm super excited because it's so pretty. And this was, now tell the story that you told me about where you found this.
So this was, I can't remember the name of the place, and it was my favorite drink there. It's called a lavender martini. And I ordered it one day and they said, okay, but this is the last one. We're finishing up our lavender syrup and you won't be able to get it anymore. So they gave me the recipe.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it also contains vinique, is how you say it?
Vinique.
Which makes it so pretty. It's like this purpley, shimmery liqueur. Is it a liqueur?
I think so. It's a liqueur. It's got cognac in it and some other stuff.
Yeah, well, it makes everything super tasty. So what is in this martini is we have a 1/2 ounce of lavender simple syrup, which I made when you mentioned that you needed it for this. And that was just a cup of water and a cup of sugar that I melted down to make a simple syrup. And then I added 2 drops of lavender essential oil. You could also put a couple of lavender buds in there and let it sit and steep to get that lavender flavor. But 1/2 ounce of the lavender simple syrup, 1 ounce of the vinique, and then 1.5 ounces of citron vodka or any sort of like lemon flavored vodka.
Yeah.
And then we also have a lemon twist and we put a sugar rim on, and you even had purple sanding sugar, which is so fun with the purple drink. But we just put all of the liquid into a shaker, shook it up, and then strained it into sugar rimmed martini glasses, and that's it. And then the lemon twist on top. So Jessie, I have a toast that I do here. And so my toast is, may all of your things be tidy and may all of your cocktails be strong. So cheers.
And this one certainly is. Cheers.
this is strong. And ooh. Okay, so getting into your question as far as finding time, I want to start out by talking a little bit about your life and your family. So tell us, so we have a little bit of backstory about what you do, your family, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I am, I'm a nurse, but I don't work in the hospital system anymore. I work on Monday through Friday, banker's hour type job. Now with insurance, and it's about an hour away from here, though. So I've got that going on. My husband is working kind of crazy, like 12-hour days, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturdays. Our daughter is 8. She's in second grade, so she's going to school. She's involved in Girl Scouts, for which I am her troop leader. So we've got all that going on, plus cookie season right now. And
you're in school,
Yeah, and I'm in school. I've got 8 weeks left till I finish this degree. Another degree possibly coming in the future, but I need to kind of rein things in and deal with the things that are stressing me out at home.
Yeah, so you are not home a whole lot.
I am not home a whole lot, and you know, my mom had this poem when I was little about how, you know, your time with your kids is so important. And if you don't dust and you don't clean, that's okay, because your babies are only so little for so long. And I sort of took that way too to heart, I think. So things have gotten pretty messy in the last 8 years. And, you know, now it's to the point where I don't always want to be home. And I've got a great house. I just, you know, it needs some help.
And how long have you been? Because you lived here for how long?
5 years. Okay. 5.5 years now. Oh, my gosh.
And this is almost double the size of your previous house to this, correct?
Because we have a finished basement now. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you have space. It's really more of a we don't have time kind of thing to keep up with stuff.
Yeah. I notice I start a lot of projects, and then, like, I get a whole bunch of stuff ready to take to Goodwill, and I don't have time to do that.
Yeah. So that was one of the things that you said, my biggest organizing struggle is finding time to sort of like finish, to follow through with the things that you've gone, because everyone has a lot of energy at the beginning of a project, like, let's go do this. And then, like, when it comes time to sort of like those last little bits, you know, we finished our basement 8 years ago when we first moved. No, gosh, 10 years ago. Perhaps I should lay off the martinis a little bit. No. But 10 years ago, we moved into our house. We finished the basement like a year later. There are still parts of the upper trim that never got attached. Uh-huh. So I get it. Like that ending, that follow through, it happens. Life, you know, we had a baby, then we had another baby, then, you know, I started a business and things. It just wasn't important. It wasn't a priority. But it sounds like the place where you are now, you know, getting ready to finish up your school and wanting to spend more time at home, or with the idea that you will be spending more time.
Right.
This is now a priority to sort of follow through, finish some of these things up, get some systems in place.
I've kind of had it up to here. Like, I'm ready to enjoy my house, or it's time to sell it, honestly.
Yeah. Like, and I think that the poem that your mom had, whatever that was, like, I think there is some truth to that. But I think that, like you said, you've taken it a little too much to heart in the terms of, like, I'm just going to ignore this other stuff and do the fun stuff. And I think that happens very often. But there is a silver lining. Like, it doesn't mean if you have an organized house that you have to be spending all your time maintaining it. I think that maybe we can come up with some systems and some structure for you that will allow you to spend those time doing the things, being a scout leader and, you know, doing things that you want to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily feeling like every waking minute is going to be maintaining your house. Yeah. So I think that that's kind of, do you feel like that would kind of be the goal?
Yeah, absolutely. Because honestly, right now I feel like guilt if I'm doing anything for me that is not cleaning the house. You know, like, I do all my stuff for my husband, for my daughter, for the troop, and cleaning the house. But I feel really guilty if I just sit down to, like, do something for me right now.
Right. Girl, I am so there with you. Like, that was my – anybody who's been listening to the podcast for a while knows that, like, my New Year's resolution this year was to be better about self-care and be better about taking care of me and to stop feeling guilty about – oh, I'm not doing this thing over here for X, Y, and Z person, but I'm doing something for myself, and, like, it's okay to do that. And we actually have an episode coming up soon with self-care tips, so you'll have to make sure you listen to that one, too.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think that definitely we can get some systems in place for you.
Cool.
Okay, so can you give me an example of where you have organized something and you haven't really followed through in it, or just sort of like an example of a struggle that you're having here in this house?
Sure. I have a multitude of them. So around Christmas time, we kind of went through and we got all the toys out of most of the toys out of my living room so that I could kind of get my living room back. And we took all the toys and we put them into what is now the playroom. So I kind of cleaned out the office and moved things around and got rid of a lot. There was a lot of stuff in there I just didn't need. But now the playroom is just a mess of toys all over the floor. And all the office stuff is sort of a pile over by my back door. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that we decided to get rid of in that time period. And even though, like, Goodwill Truck has come and I have put a lot out with that, there's a lot of stuff that I feel like, oh, I should sell this, or, you know, I should go take this over to Once Upon a Child or whatever. And I never do. So it's almost like I need to give myself a time limit so I can just be like, okay, if I haven't dealt with it by now, then your fault.
Right. Well, and I think that, so there's the four D's of when you're getting it. So you can donate it. Mm-hmm. You can delegate the selling of it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there are people out there that if you take them a box of stuff, they'll sell it for you and they'll take a percentage of it. Mm-hmm. That you just delete it. You just, like, throw it away. Mm-hmm. Or that you, now I can't remember the fourth D. But it's basically, the idea is that when you've got these things that are sort of hanging over your head, like, you taking on the follow-through action isn't the only option.
Right.
So if you really feel like these are high-quality items that you could sell, can your mom take it for you? Can your husband take it for you? Do they have a drop-off service? Or is it something that's so important to you that you're going to put it into your schedule? Like, I have to drop my daughter off for this, so I'm going to go over to Once Upon a Child and drop that stuff off. And if I haven't done that, I'm just going to take it as a tax write-off, donate it, right, and just get rid of it. Because what needs to happen is, at some point, there's what's more important, getting a couple of dollars at Once Upon a Child for that bag of clothes, or having the sanity that you need? And it kind of sounds like you're at that kind of breaking point right now, where it's like, it sure seems, it would be nice to have the $25, but what is your time worth per hour? I mean, at this point, you have so few hours that you have for you or have for anything else around the house, that, like, what is your per hour cost? That's, you know, is it going to be a good return on investment for your time?
That's a really good point, yeah.
Now, up in this office where you, or the office playroom, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
so
a playroom now.
Is there any sort of, like, storage or structure? So you took stuff up there kind of willy-nilly, but you haven't actually, again, finished up the project.
Yep.
Of
I haven't
being
had
like,
time to. Yep.
Right. So I think that for something like that, you know, you just completed phase one, and there's probably, like, four phases to this project. So your first phase was to take it upstairs. And so then I think that when you look at your full project, and this for anything in your house, you know, the first thing would be, like, sorting and purging. Mm-hmm. The second is sorting is first, purging is second, and then assigning a location, which you've done. You've assigned the location, and then containerizing. So then that's going to be your next step, which is going through and figuring out what sort of storage you need for the things that are up there. And then the final one is maintenance. So that's going to be part of the process in terms of whether your daughter is the person that maintains it. But you need to now figure out a time.
It's coming.
Figure out a time. It might be like 12 weeks from now, once you've gotten done with school and sort of resumed normal life. But and that's okay. Yeah. You know, like, if it doesn't happen for 12 weeks, it's okay.
Yeah.
If you have it on the schedule. But I highly recommend you actually put it on your schedule and say, like, Saturday, and you maybe ask somebody to watch your daughter, or if it happens to be a Saturday that your husband is, you know, be like, can you guys go away for, like, 2 hours so that I can figure out what I need to store all this stuff, go and get the items, and then put it into the items. And so then that would be completing the next phase of what you need to do. But finding that time to follow through, I think people think that it's just going to magically appear, like, oh, I'll go drop these things off at the Goodwill when I'm driving by there, and then the bag sits by the front door. I literally have a bag of my husband cleaned out his closet last weekend. It's been sitting in our bedroom. I moved it out to the chair in our living room last Wednesday so that I would grab it on my way out the door. It's still sitting there. So it is.
I'm not alone.
You are not alone. And I'm a professional. I should know better. I've been to the Goodwill 3 times this week, dropping off things for other people. But it's just a matter of, this bag is so big, I can't carry my kids in my car and the bag of clothes. Mm-hmm. So, but I get it. Like, I understand that you think, like, this is going to be so easy, I put it right here. So, you know, it could be that rather than putting things by a door, you're going to actually go put things in your car. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to put a reminder on your phone that says, drop donations off at Goodwill, that will pop up as you're driving home from work, or that'll pop up on your lunch break or something like that. That'll sort of be a reminder. Like, this year, because I'm finding that I am very I'm good when people are expecting things of me. I find putting things on my calendar and setting up reminders and having an accountability person to follow through. So, you know, if your mom or your dad or your husband says to you, like, Jesse, did you take those donations yet? Like, you already said, like, you're really good at doing things for other people, but it's really hard for you to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
Do you need to have, like, that accountability about, you know, your neighbor? I think you have a neighbor that's a pretty close friend of yours. Yep. You'd be like, listen, I need you on Mondays to like, text me and be like, girl, did you take that stuff to the donation site yet? And it could be something that she just sets up and schedules on her phone on a regular basis, but it would be that reminder that you have because you've got so many things coming in so many different directions that it might help you to finish up those loose ends that you have. Right. And then another thing is I would not start anything else at this point until you sort of like make a list of all those things you need to finish and schedule those things first.
Yeah.
So you had also mentioned that like there's paper issues in the kitchen counter. I mean, again, you had said that there's a kind of like just an overall organizing struggle because of time issues. Right. So talk to me a little bit about the kitchen and the paper and that kind of thing.
Well, now that I've taken everything from the office and put it into the kitchen, it's actually a little bit better because rather than having something in a pile that, oh, I need to go take this in the other room, I can deal with it right away.
So it's more in your line of sight.
Yeah. So that actually helps me. But also I realize there's so many papers I have that I don't need. So I just kind of got rid of a lot of stuff.
Good.
I mean, I had taxes all the way back from 1999. So I got rid of a bunch of that, shredded, of course. The other paper that comes in, obviously, is all of Zoe's schoolwork. And I've gotten better about looking at it each night and putting what I can in the trash, but holding on to precious memories. And then I kind of stack those in a pile on the drop-off counter. And I, you know, every so often go through them and say, okay, well, this is no longer so precious. And I can kind of go through it again from there. But it ends up, you know, being kind of a clutter station.
Because it's just sort of a catch-all. Now, do you have an end point for her school papers?
The end of the year, yeah.
Well, do you have like a memory box or something like that that you keep them all in?
No, not. I mean, I have a couple folders from the last few years.
Okay.
A couple Trader Joe's bags from the last few years, really. But yeah, no, I mean, I would like to have something a little bit more. It's just a little bit hard with different sizes of artwork and stuff. And I've actually listened to some of your shows before where you're kind of talking about some of that. So I've tried to incorporate a little bit of that. But it's not perfect, for sure.
But having a place to put it is the most important thing. And it can be a Trader Joe's grocery bag. Like, that's a fine place as long as there is a place for it to go. Yeah. Because I think that a lot of times when that clutter starts to collect in places, part of the reason is like, there isn't a place for it to go. And you know it's something that you want to keep, but you don't have a place for it to go. So I think that having a place for it to go, I think creating some sort of a like memory box or something like that, the thing that's nice about that is that it will give you a parameter of how much you can keep. And I'm sure that she's in second grade now.
Yeah.
So, and I know that after preschool, like the amount of stuff that came home sort of dramatically decreased. Right.
Yeah,
and
it does a little.
Yeah.
I mean, she does a lot of artwork on her own too, though, that she wants to keep. And I sort of incorporate that into the year.
Okay. But yeah, having like a folder or a hanging file, they have these file pockets that are a little bit wider than a regular folder, and saying like, this is the amount of space that you have. And again, at the end of the year, you go through, and if it doesn't fit in here, we have to determine, because you're setting her up for success by sort of saying to her, this is how much space you have, and you need to learn to live within this space. Yeah. Because again, that's kind of where you are right now, where it's like you move to this bigger house and you're like, oh, it's going to be so much better. We have so much more space now. And then what you do is you fill it all up again. I mean, it's the American way.
Yep.
You are the rule, not the exception. You know, we move to a bigger house. We fill it all back up again. We think we're going to, oh, this is so great. We're going to have so much more space. It's not going to be cluttered. And then it gets that way because we don't have the time.
Right.
We're so busy, we don't have the time to go back and sort of get rid of things the way that we need to.
And you mentioned something really important to me, actually, right there, is that setting up habits for her, too.
Yeah.
Because that has become increasingly more noticeable to me, that I don't want my kid feeling like this is normal. Like, to me, this is not normal. But for her, you know, I don't want it to become her normal either.
Yeah.
So setting up those habits is something.
And that's
really
the thing is, kids
on.
Learn by seeing, and they will learn from the habits that their parents have. And that's one thing that a lot of the moms that I work with, that I talk to them about, is I am more than happy to sit down and talk to your kids or to come up with systems that work for you and for them, because you want them to grow up to be successful, responsible adults that know the difference between something that's super precious and something that can be gotten rid of, or that isn't constantly moving into bigger and bigger spaces or mm-hmm. getting storage units or things like that, because they don't have the skill set to be able to say, I don't think this is precious, but I'm going to keep it because I might need it one day. So I'm just going to keep everything. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes clutter.
Yep.
But that's good. And I think that you're saying a lot of the things that you need to be said, as far as like, I want to be a good example. I'm ready to make these changes. Those are all important things, because I'll get called into somebody's house because the husband told the wife that she needs to get an organizer and she's not ready. And at that point, they can't make any changes. So there's no reason for me to really be there because she's not in the mindset. But I think you're in a good place right now where you just sort of need structure for your next step going forward.
Yeah.
And so as far as like doing these things, finding the time, about how long per week do you feel like you actually have to dedicate to something like this?
When I am in school, very, very little.
Right.
You know, maybe 3 to 4 hours on the weekend. When I am not in school, I feel like I can put more time into it a little bit more daily and offer more time on the weekend, even, you know, maybe not every weekend, but, you know, maybe one day a month I'm, you know, that's really kind of the majority of my day.
Yeah. And I think too, rather than thinking of things in big, long chunks, because I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of doing some things because we're like, oh, I really don't want to spend 3 hours on my weekend. I get so little time to myself. I get so little time with my family. I'm always working, or I'm in school, or I've got this, you know, I'm at Girl Scouts. Maybe think of breaking it into smaller chunks so that rather than doing nothing for 3 hours, that you're doing something for a half hour. Mm-hmm. So like, say for instance, we're sitting in your living room right now. Like if you broke this room into six, divided it in half and then divided it in thirds. Like one day you would tackle that third and then that third and then that third. Mm-hmm. In the idea that I'm going to set a timer for a half hour. I'm going to go through and get rid of the stuff I need to get through, or I'm going to make labels for things, or I'm going to go through this paper. And then when it's done, I'm done. I've done something. Mm-hmm. I've seen it through beginning, middle, end, or to the end point that I can be, you know, if it's a matter of you need to take it to a donation site or you need to, you know, do something else to get rid of it. But that idea that you are doing smaller goals at one time so that you're doing something a little bit every weekend versus like, I need to dedicate 3 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I think right now that might help you start getting a good beat on what you need to do.
Right.
Versus like, oh, I just really can't handle doing this. I mean, it's Ohio winter. I can barely get motivated to get myself out of bed in the morning. So like, I don't even know how you're doing everything that you're doing right now.
It's like, well, it's not in my house.
Right. That's true. You are obligated to go out of the house and do it. But I think that looking at it and being like, 3 to 4 hours to organize a playroom versus a half hour to go through this stack of paper,
right,
you may be more inclined to actually tackle. And then what you'll start to see is you're creating habits that I'm dedicating a half hour every day on the weekends, or, you know, like a half hour on Saturday and a half hour on Sunday, or I'm dedicating a half hour on Saturday and a half hour on Wednesday, where it's an hour a week, but it's a dedicated, you know, half hour each time, and you're starting to see progress because you're doing little bits on a constant basis. Mm-hmm. You're being consistent about the things that you're doing. And then when you get those areas, those small areas, you know, you've got the paper gone through, or, you know, you've set up a section in the playroom, making sure that you're maintaining those on a regular basis will mean that it doesn't mean you have to circle back around and redo that again.
Right.
And once that system is in place, it's going to take you a lot less time to hit that reset button than it is for you to completely recreate the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Do you think that that is something that you could work into your schedule, or do you think that you don't even have time for that right now?
I think that I could, at least, you know, in little increments for the next few weeks until school's out. And then, you know, I hate to kind of put this timer on it, but you know, I feel like school and the big part of our Girl Scout year is done in a few weeks, and
great.
I feel like at that point I'm a little more open. But I like the idea of really kind of making it a little bit every day rather than a big chunk.
Right. Because it's so easy to talk yourself out of doing a whole big chunk, but just a little bit and saying, like, when this timer goes off, I'm done.
Right.
So I just have to make it through this half hour or this 15 minutes or whatever it is. So when you think about what your organized house would look like, because that is the eventual goal, you know, you have a vision. What does that look like to you?
Well, it has a lot less stuff because I'm very cognizant that I just have so much stuff that it makes it hard to manage it. And it doesn't mean that I have to take things away from my family. I mean, honestly, I have put off getting rid of things so long through the years that really, I mean, there's half the stuff Zoe doesn't even play with anymore.
Right.
So it's really just kind of getting rid of a lot of that stuff. But then also I just want, no one else can see this, but you can kind of see the color tone that I kind of took with the house. I want something that is calm for me.
Yeah.
So I want something to look kind of classic and elegant and calm and very minimalistic.
Yeah.
Without necessarily, you know, taking things away from Jeff and Zoe, who may not have the same idea that
I
have.
Well, and clutter is not calming. So regardless of how much stuff you have sort of behind closed doors or cabinets or whatever, like just visually seeing it in your periphery, and maybe it's that what your number one goal would be at this point in time is to set up one space that you can go to. Like either it's the space you spend the most time in or the space you would like to spend the most time in.
Yeah.
But set up a zone or a space where you can go if you need 10 minutes in your super busy life to stare at a wall or read a book or just breathe for a second. But I think that when you're surrounded, when there's so much all around you and everywhere you look, you see the thing that's sort of causing you a little bit of stress in your home. And, you know, you had said, like, I want this to be a home. I want it to be a place of that I feel calm in.
Right.
You know, find one section and then really work hard to maintain that for yourself. And then I think that as you start to see how nice it is to have that space to go to, that will propel you forward in these other spaces.
Yeah.
So I think that finding that why, finding that reason or that vision for you of what you want your house to look like, keep that in your mind when you're talking yourself out of doing the things on the weekends. And again, I want to find a balance for you. I don't want to say that you need to spend every waking minute that you have. That's not realistic. Right. And it's also like not who you want to be. So find that balance. Is it 15 minutes? Is it 20 minutes on a Saturday or a Sunday? And then another 20 minutes at some point during the week that you can sort of like tackle these things in a small way, keeping that vision of what you want the house to look like and using that to give you the energy that you need to complete and follow through on these projects. And then, you know, starting to see the benefits of spending even those small increments of time, I think that that will help to propel you forward.
Right.
Now, one other thing is I encourage you to bring your daughter in the places that would be appropriate. Is that something that you currently do?
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we have started doing that. I would say, you know, I mean, my New Year's resolution word was enough. And it was really because I've had enough and I want to have just enough. And she has kind of been with me on that journey the last few weeks, last couple months of the year. And she has known that that is my goal. And she's kind of been along on board with that. And so she has, especially this year of her life, like she's really started to be a part of getting rid of things. And she's realizing some things are too little for her. She, you know, very often she's like, you know what, I don't need that anymore. Let's give that to kids who need stuff.
Awesome. So, yes. Yeah. So I think that anywhere that you can encourage her, and then maybe even in some of the other places, you know, she's old enough that you can be like, this is important to me. I really want this house to feel homey, or, you know, go to Pinterest or go to, you know, get a magazine, show her pictures and be like, this is what I would love my house to look like. Can you help me get here? I want this to be a place for all of us. I want this to be something that you help me with. And bringing your kids in is going to, A, help them understand why it is that it's important for you to either get rid of stuff or spend time on the weekends doing this versus, you know, playing a game for hours and hours with them. You know, it doesn't mean you can't play a game with them. It just means that you need to dedicate a little bit of time to this. But it's also going to develop that skill set for them.
Yeah.
So, and I think that you just explain it to her, like, doesn't this look pretty? Don't you think this would be great? Would you help me to make our house look like this? And I think that that would be a really great sort of way to sort of bring her in. And then, like you said, teach her the skills going forward so that this isn't her normal.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
So.
Yeah, especially as artistic as she is. I know that she would love that design element of
it too. Oh, yeah, for sure. Or be like, here's a magazine. Go through. You show me if you could have a house in here. What would you want it to look like?
I love that. I love that.
And, you know, and pick out, you know, like, is there an element about this room that you really love? Well, maybe once we get this room cleared out, we can add something like that in here. I think that would be a really cool thing to make it seem just not like you're ignoring her, but that you're bringing her into the process.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great idea.
Okay, tell me you did not find Jessie's story super relatable. I think we all go through times where we feel overwhelmed by our homes and schedules and we just don't know where to start. So let's recap some of the solutions that I discussed with Jessie. When you feel behind on tasks, you are not the only solution to finish that project. I double-checked the 4 D's that I referred to in the chat, and they are: you can do it, you can delegate it, you can delete it, or you can delay it based on other priorities. Also, consider the cost of your time. Is it worth your time to run all over town to get a few bucks to sell something, or should you just cut your losses and move on so that you can complete the project? In any successful organizing project, you are going to have the steps of sorting, purging, finding a location and containers, and then maintaining your space. Rather than thinking of your project as one big step, consider each step a separate task. Put these steps of the organizing process on your calendar as separate tasks. Chances are, in your busy mom life, you're not going to get a full day to clean out your basement or completely reorganize your toy room. So add these individual tasks to your calendar so that you can tackle things a little bit at a time. If you are still struggling with getting parts of your project done, find some sort of accountability. Whether it is a person texting or calling you to follow up, or perhaps just a reminder on your phone to take those donations and drop them off on a day when you know you're going to be near the drop-off location. Mom brain is real, and we all need all the help that we can get with reminders. And before you get excited about tackling something fun and new, try to finish up those loose ends that you have hanging around. Part of the reason we get behind and overwhelmed is that we're really, really good at starting something and not quite as good at finishing it. I am totally guilty of this too. If you find clutter is collecting in specific areas, ask yourself, do I really need to keep this? And does it have a place to go? Make a specific dedicated place for the things that you are keeping so that when you go to tidy up, you can put it away rather than just moving it to another counter or a basket or a box to go through later. My final recommendation for Jessie is to focus the limited time she has on creating one dedicated space in her home that fits her vision of an organized space. She needs to work to create and maintain this sanctuary for herself and use her enjoyment of that space to propel her into these other projects she wants to tackle. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And remember, you can find links to any of the cocktail recipes that we have, past episodes, and even that show survey by visiting the show notes at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. And be sure to join me next week when I'll be talking to former financial planner turned professional organizer Kirsty Ferrugia about how and why to organize your finances. Until then, take care and happy organizing.